Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to this study today. We're going to be talking about adoption and getting back into our study of adoption. Thank you for joining us. I pray that you're healthy and that you have food on your table and roof over your head and all your bills are paid. And we know that the Lord blesses us and takes care of us and gives us all sufficiency in all things if we'll trust Him. And we put our trust in Him. The Lord said He'll give it to us. It'll be it'll be pressed and shaken and running over. And it is. It does. The Lord keeps His word with us. You know that. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. You know the Lord. You know Him personally. The Lord has done some very personal and wonderful things for you that you know came from Him and nobody else, and there was no chance it could have been anybody else, and you know exactly. The Lord said He'll meet you face to face, and you know that it was Him that did that for you, and give Him glory for it and trust Him. He is real, and His Son is real, and we know Him. We know Him. So let's go back into this adoption. You know, I was looking through all of my books to try to find some kind of example of adoption or an illustration of adoption to share with you. And the only thing it talked about concerning adoption with, thousands of illustrations in these books that I have, to kind of just... just give you something special, help you out a little bit. But do you know I couldn't find anything on adoption? Remember when we started this study, I told you that these things that we're learning right now, that they've stopped teaching. And they did. They've stopped teaching it. And these are the important things. These used to be the very beginning things that they would teach somebody that just got born again, that just got saved. When you was in the old days, before this apostate church started coming in, the last church, the Laodicean church, before that, when I got saved, it was 41, 42 years ago, and they handed me a book that had every one of these things in it that we're going to be studying. And adoption is one of them. And it's just fundamentals that new Christians learn of things that have happened to them and things that God has done to assure them of their salvation and that they now belong to the Lord and they're in His family and there's no reason to doubt it at all. Just get busy for Him and learn and study the Word of God and get in the book. But you know, I couldn't find anything. I found some things on adoption, but adoption here on earth, natural adoption and stories and things like that having to do with that. There was nothing concerning being adopted by our Heavenly Father. I thought that was peculiar, not strange, because we talked about that before we got started here. But the devil's hiding these things. He's hiding these things, even from Christians. And this is something that's very important. Even if it's on the back burner, you still need to know it. And it's very important because it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith. And to know that you're adopted and that you're in the family of God and that the Lord has both compassionately adopted you because He loves you, but He has also legally adopted you. There's not anything that's going to, if you're born again and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you're in His family, there's nothing in the future legally with God that God's going to hold against you and point His finger at you and say, well, you didn't take care of this, or this, or this, or this, or this. It's all been taken care of judicially with the Lord. And His holiness and His righteousness, it's all been taken care of. And adoption is part of your salvation. And it's very important to know. Let's just recap just a little bit. We talked about adoption as seen naturally in the Scriptures. And that's why we study the Scriptures, is because that's the only way we can know what's true and what's not true in this world today. it's always been the truth, and but before, there was a little bit of morals in the world, and even drunkards were moral. They had more morals than some Christians nowadays. But we've seen adoption used naturally of Israel, and we spoke of that, about how adoption is used in the Scriptures, not only for the born-again child of God and the Bible believer, but it's also used corporately for Israel. When you see adoption written in the Bible, and you've probably already been over some Scriptures and studied them, and you've seen where their adoption has been used in the Scriptures, but it had absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It had to do with the Lord adopting Israel nationally and corporately. But that doesn't take anything away from your adoption. It's just the Bible. That's why the Lord tells us to rightly divide the word of truth, because there are so many different things going on in the Scriptures that are scattered all throughout the Bible, and you have to study and rightly divide it to get the pieces of it, to put it all together to get the truth of it. It's not that God doesn't want us to know the truth. It says that He wants us to be sincere in knowing the truth, and He put the Scriptures together in such a way to where you search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. Because, see, insincere people and people that just don't care about God's Word, they want to just know so they can know and stand up and get the glory for it. God's not going to give them anything. But people that are sincere with the Scriptures and want to know what the truth is and want it from the Lord and want the absolute truth so they can have peace in their heart and know that God will back up what they believe because they're believing what He says, God reveals those things to him. And you have to, knowing in the Scriptures, you have to study the Scriptures and the Lord will bless you for that. But we talked about adoption used nationally for Israel. And we've learned that. And then we talked about adoption as used spiritually of the Gentiles in Scriptures. And we moved into the Gentiles, which is us. And now we're talking about adoption for Gentiles. And that Israel had been set aside by the Lord temporarily until all of the Gentiles be brought in. And when they're brought in, the Lord's going to, when everybody's saved that will be saved and will accept Jesus as their Savior, then the Lord's going to come and get us. And we're out of here, and then the Lord's going to go back to dealing with Israel specifically before He gets rid of all the God-haters and all the perversion and all of the wickedness on this earth and sets up His kingdom here. And we're looking forward to that, aren't we? All right, then we talked about the time of adoption of the Gentiles as spoken in Scripture. And remember, we spent a little bit of lengthy study on that part where it has to do with past and predestination. And we know that predestination is not where God says, okay, you're going to be saved and you're not going to be saved and you're going to be saved and you're not going to be saved. That's absolutely incorrect and untrue. The Bible does not teach that anywhere, anyhow, anytime, nowhere. Having to do with this dispensation, God has never set plans for people to be saved and people to, and go to heaven and people not to be saved and go to hell. God's always allowed people's will to be a free agent, no matter what dispensation it's in. If it was a dispensation of works and faith and works, or whether it's a dispensation that we're in, which is the gospel of the grace of God, which is entirely and strictly by faith, without works. You cannot do anything to get to heaven by working for it. You have to accept it as a gift, absolutely free from the Lord, which is wonderful. I don't know why anybody. We've got the best. We're in the best time to be saved. But, man, people are going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, I put it right in front of you. There it was. Why didn't you take it? Bind him hand and feet. and cast him into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yeah. The time of adoption of the Gentiles. We talked about that and spent a little time on that. We talked about the present and born-again Gentiles. We talked about the future and born-again Gentiles, past, present, and future. And then we stopped, and today we're going to begin in the source of scriptural adoption. The source of scriptural adoption. Anything that happens gotta have a source to it. I mean, if there's an adoption going on, there has to be a source. And you say, well, what do we mean by that? Well, let's get into the scriptures and read some of what God says and study about this source. All right. One thing that is a source of adoption according to the Word of God and in the scriptures is God's grace. God's grace. God's grace is the source of adoption. You know, God didn't have to adopt anybody. He didn't have to save anybody. He could have just squashed out this. There's a lot of times in the scriptures when he did it with Moses. He did it with others. But he told them, man, step aside. I'm going to destroy every one of them, and I'll start a whole new nation with you. I mean, there's been times the Lord was going to do it and had his mind made up to do it, but like Moses stepped in that one time and said, Lord, you know, I mean, what are the Egyptians going to say? You know, and the Lord, it says he repented. That means he changed his mind. He wasn't sorry about his decision. The Lord is never sorry about his decisions. He's perfect. But he repented. He changed his mind because Moses asked him to. And there's been other instances in there, but the source of scriptural adoption is God's grace. You know, one thing that we don't need to ever forget is that it's by God's grace that we've been adopted into his family. You need to thank the Lord for him allowing you to be in his family. Yeah. You know, when the Lord describes that he's not ashamed to be our God, think about that for a minute. The scripture says that God is a God that's not ashamed to be our God. Now, think about what that means just a minute. The Lord's not ashamed to be our God. That means that he chooses not to be ashamed to be our God. But if it come right down to it, there are reasons for a God to be ashamed of being our God. Because of our behavior, because of what we are, because of what's in us. Jesus said, if you being evil, and he's holy and without sin, yet he's not ashamed to be our God. Well, you know, in the same note, we ought to tell the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to be your son. Right? Yeah. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, that's us, who is the father of us all, by grace. The source of scriptural adoption is by grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, nobody would get in God's family. You couldn't talk the Lord into letting your wicked self into his family. The Lord wouldn't even, the Lord had to judicially, that's what we're talking about in here. He not only compassionately showed grace, but he also showed grace in the courtroom. He showed grace legally to adopt us. He knew who we are before he decided to adopt us. The Bible, you know, it is by God's grace that anybody gets into his family. certainly no one can instruct the Lord who he should adopt or under what conditions. Nobody's going to tell God what conditions to use to adopt somebody. The Lord uses his own choices and decisions as a source of adoption. And we're glad of that, aren't we? God himself provides the conditions, and he chose adoption into his family to be by his grace. If you'll accept my grace, you can be in my family. If you want to do it on your own and try to prove to me that you're good enough to get in my family, forget it. Beat it. Aren't we thankful? Yes, we are. We should be. And we should be on purpose, because the source of scriptural adoption is God's grace. One of them is God's grace. Who in the world would want to work his way into God's family? It's not possible, but who would want to do that anyway? If God gave you an option to try to prove to him how good you are to get to heaven, or just accept it as a gift, which one would you choose? You say, well, that's a stupid question. Yes, it is. But you know, there are idiots out there that would choose to try to work and impress God, and still are. And if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd be doing it. So it's by God's grace. God's grace is a source of adoption. What else? Now, we're talking about adoption, and we're talking about it compassionately, and we're talking about it legally. Legally. All right. Another thing is that faith is the source of adoption that the Lord has established. Faith. Faith. In Galatians, let's get to the scriptures. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, and then on down into 26 through 29, the Bible says this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not blabbity, blabbity, blab. God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, that's not talking about water baptism, it's talking about spiritual baptism by the Holy Ghost, but been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs. There's your adoption. And heirs according to the promise. Now, there it is. It's faith. Faith is the source of adoption. Faith. And the Lord had to work it out to where he could get us the faith that we needed. And that gets on into some more studies. But, the Lord's done everything for us, folks. And if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you ought to be thanking him, because he has done a lot for you. He's taken care of every little single detail that needs to be taken care of so that you don't have to worry about your salvation. You don't have to worry about where you're going when you die. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to show up in God's courtroom and have to answer questions and this and that and the other. Now, we are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, but that's a completely different scenario. That's not a judgment of condemnation. That's a judgment of all the deeds that you did in the body after you were saved, and what you did and did not do for the Lord. Wholly, completely different thing. The Bible says, shall not come under condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you're born again, you're not coming under condemnation of the Lord. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what we're studying right now, is what saith the Lord. What does God's word say? When we read God's word, it gives us the faith that we need. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God, it produces faith in us, the kind of faith that God says it takes. Hebrews chapter 11, listen to this, in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When somebody's diligent about something, they're sincere, aren't they? That's what we talked about a while ago. God does not let any fakes or fakers, he don't let any fakes manipulate him in any way. God knows if there's only 1% of faith in your heart that is sincere about getting to him and finding him and wanting him, he'll help you with that. But if you are trying to manipulate, if anybody's trying to manipulate the Lord and trying to fake the Lord out and manipulate him and think that they're going to get away with it, you got something coming, man. The Lord's going to make a fool out of you with his word, is what happens every time. And I'm not interested in that. I want to do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight, don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. That's why we're here. Why? I don't know anybody that, well, I don't know anybody, but I know there are some that would get in here to study God's word to try to do some wicked stuff with it. The devil being one of them. Satan knows the word of God through and through. He mentioned it in Eden, remember? The Lord is so wise, he made becoming one of his heirs unique, didn't he? How? You have to want to come to him. That's how he did it. You have to want to come to him. The Father does not adopt anyone that does not come to him by faith through Christ his Son. Praise him. I'm glad the Lord done the things that he done the way he done them, aren't you? The more you find out about what God has done for you, the more you're going to have joy in your heart and see how perfect the Lord is and how perfect he's worked this thing out. But legally and compassionately, the source of scriptural adoption. God's grace is a source of scriptural adoption. God's faith is a source of scriptural adoption. And that's not all. Through Christ Jesus is the source of scriptural adoption. Through Christ Jesus and him alone. Listen to this. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3 through 6, the Bible says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Were you under the law? Yes, you are. You broke in God's commandment. You told a lie. You broke God's commandment. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent Jesus. It mentioned Jesus in that verse. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time, remember when we started this out, we was talking about how salvation was a mystery at one time? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to do what was necessary, compassionately and legally, in order to adopt you as a son. Yeah. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You can now call the Lord compassionately, Daddy. Yeah. He's not only our Father, He's our Daddy. Isn't that neat? That's neat. Okay, so we see the source of adoption, and that the Lord has provided that through His grace, through faith, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's look at something else, another topic about adoption, about this matter of adoption. The assurance of adoption. What are some things that give us assurance that adoption has taken place? I mean, what could you mention? What could you, if you had to write down one thing that adoption has taken place with you and your Heavenly Father, what would you put down? Well, assurance of adoption has taken place. Let's look at a few things. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit witnesses, the Holy Spirit's witness assures as adoption. The Bible says that God the Holy Ghost teaches us that we are sons of God, that we have been adopted. If you're born again, God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. He's in you. And He witnesses to your spirit that you are a child of God. Let's read it. Romans 8, 15 and 16. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, am I your son? Ask Him. See what He says. God, the Holy Ghost will answer that question for you. Romans chapter 8, 15 and 16 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah, isn't that neat? Assurance of adoption has taken place. One thing that assures us that adoption has taken place is that God the Holy Ghost tells us that we are children of God, and you ought to behave yourself, and you ought to glorify Him, and you ought to glorify His Son, and you ought to forget about this world, and you ought to quit putting up garbage treasure that you think is treasure in this world and stockpiling everything down here because this place is going to burn. And not only for that reason, that it's going to burn and it'll be a waste for you to stack up a whole pile of stuff so it can burn, but that you're wasting time and not putting up treasure in heaven and not bearing fruit for the Lord. I mean, the Lord said, Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh is what? The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yeah, but one assurance of adoption has taken place is that the Holy Spirit witnesses to us, that, and He assures us that we have been adopted and that we are the children of God. Now you say, well, how do I know that's true? Because you just read it in your God's Word. You just read it in the Word of God, the living Word of the written living Word of your God. And you can trust it. So trust it. What else? What else assures us that adoption's taken place? Well, the Spirit's leading. The Spirit's leading assures of an adoption. God the Holy Spirit don't just dwell in you for nothing. He's busy conforming you into the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 14, listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You say, well, there's been times in my life that I was not, that I didn't follow what the Lord told me to do. Well, that doesn't make you not a son. That makes you disobedient son. And the Lord has ways of handling that matter too. I can testify to that. If you don't make it through the class, if you fail a couple of classes, you got to go through it again with the Lord. And the Lord makes you, he has ways of making you more interested in passing the tests the next time. He carries a big strap, and he knows how to use it exactly the way you need it. But you don't have to go that route with the Lord. All you have to do is be willing and change your mind. Whatever God says, change your mind. Conform, be conformed into the image of Christ. Willingly. But your flesh is going to fight you for that. Your flesh is wicked, just like the Lord says. Quit trying to paint that flesh up and make it look good. Because there ain't nothing good about the flesh. Nothing. Paul told us that. You're carrying around a dead corpse. It's just not in the grave yet. You're coming out of that thing, and you're going to get a new one. If the Lord doesn't come before we die, your body's going to fall asleep, according to what the Bible says, and you're going to leave, and you're going to get another one. Or he's going to perfect that one and fashion it like unto his glorious body and give it back to you. Or change it at the rapture. If you're still here when the rapture happens, you're here when the rapture happens and we get caught up, he's going to change that body that's on you. The Spirit's leading assures us of adoption. What else? Well, knowing that the Lord is not only your God, but also Abba Father. In other words, Daddy assures us of adoption. I mentioned that just a minute ago. There's scripture in there that tells us that He is affectionately our Father, not only legally. The Lord is satisfied. It's been paid, it's been taken care of, and the Lord has accepted it. That's what propitiation is. That's one thing we're going to study, is that not only did Jesus pay the penalty and gather up what was necessary in order to give to the Father so the Father would make peace, so the Father could make peace with us sinners, but the Father looked at what Jesus had and said, I accept it. That's propitiation. Knowing that the Lord is not only your God, but also that He's Daddy, assures us of adoption. We read that just a minute ago, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which is Daddy. It's an affectionate term, like Daddy. Amen? What else? What else assures us that adoption's taking place? Well, a changed life. If you say that you're born again, even if you're the most rebellious child there is, and you're not, I say that, but if you're listening to me, you're talking to somebody that probably beat you out as far as being the Lord having to teach me lessons. But we all have our lessons that the Lord has to teach us as sons. But a changed life, if you're born again, and when I say if, I just mean I'm talking to everybody, but if you're born again, there should be something in your life that has changed, no matter what it is. I mean, God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you now. You have a Holy Spirit. You have God the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and you have two natures now. You have a nature that wants to do right and do good, and you have a nature that wants to lust and lick up all the evil it can get. And one of them twos always in control, and they're always fighting against each other. They're contrary to one another, and they cannot get along. Cannot get along. Ever. A changed life. Something in your life has changed or is changing. You're convicted about things that you used to not be convicted about. You're interested in spiritual things that you used to never even care about. You want to be polite to people. You're starting to put on things that Jesus was about. Whatsoever things are true, you care about things being true now. Whatsoever things are honest, you care about being an honest person now. You don't want to lie anymore. Whatsoever things are just, you want to see fair things done and justice for things, you know. And whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure. You don't want evil and corrupt things in your life anymore. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. You're starting to change your mind, change your habits, change your loyalty, change your allegiance. Something ought to be changing. Something. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now that verse is not telling us that we should love the world and love evil people. And now, I'm not talking about, let's just not get off into that right now. The Lord said, love your enemy, but he said it in a way that we need to study, okay? But when the Bible's talking about loving the brethren, it's talking about loving the family of God, loving the sons of God, loving the ones that have been born again like you have been born again, loving your brothers. Everybody is not your brother. The world is not your brother. No matter what the world says, that's the way the world system is talking about right now. Now let's all come together and one father and the brotherhood of man. No such thing. They're calling the brotherhood of man while they're massacring people and killing people and taking things from people and taking private property from people and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, what kind of brother is that? We're talking about brothers that have born into God's family, your brethren. You're in a new family now. God is your father. And you have and everybody that's been born again is not a Jew, not a Gentile, not bond, not free, not male, not female. They're brethren, sons of God. You're supposed to love them. And you should have a love growing in you for them. And you could despise one of them because of the way they treated you, but yet there's a deep down love in there that loves them. And I'm not talking about wicked, unsaved, God-hating people. I'm talking about brethren. There's a love for the brethren. The Bible says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If there's no love for the brethren in you. Now, I ain't talking about people that have done, Christians that have done, brethren that have done you wrong and you want to smack them across the head. I'm talking about you still love them. There's a love for the brethren. It's a love that the world cannot love by. It's Christ's love. It's there. All right? A changed life assures us of adoption. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Doing righteousness as in the way God and what God says is righteousness. Not goody-goody stuff like the world teaches. Righteousness. Genuine, God-given, God-taught righteousness. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And the only way that you're going to do righteousness is out of sincerity in this world today, genuine righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, being a light for the Lord. That's not talking about being good so you can go to heaven. You're already going to heaven. It's talking about doing something with your body and being righteous because your God is righteous. Born of Him. If we know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Amen. A changed life assures an adoption has taken place. What else? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Didn't say you wasn't saved. It said you're a liar, and the truth's not in you. Talking about keeping His commandments. Now you say, there's where God says I need to keep His commandments, but it's not talking about the Ten Commandments and talking about the hundreds of commandments in the Old Testament. The law is, you're not under the law. You're under grace. And what did Jesus say that the law was? He said the whole law was fulfilled in two things. What were they? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and all thy strength, and love your brother as yourself. He said the whole law is you've done the whole law if you're doing that. But as far as your sin and as far as being under God's condemnation, that's all been taken care of. You've been adopted. You're being treated as a son, not an enemy. You see? Big difference there. Remember that now. If you're a son, you're not an enemy. You're in God's family, even if God is tearing your hind end up. There's a difference in a father, a daddy, whipping his child because he's a son, and a child getting beat because he's an enemy. Or somebody getting beat because they're an enemy. There's a big difference in that, you see? Remember that now. Very important while we're studying these things. All right? A changed life assures of adoption. What else? Well, another thing is that assures that adoption has taken place is that the Heavenly Father's chastening assures of an adoption. And if you're born again, or you're listening to this and we're studying together, a lot of you can say, have probably already said, yeah, man, that's true. The Heavenly Father's chastening assures an adoption. Because when you resist Him and you resist His fatherly correction and His fatherly instruction, He's going to correct you. And the Bible says He's not only going to correct you, but He's going to scourge you. He's going to give it to you just as hard as you need it and help you change your mind. Amen. And we thank Him for it. You really, really, really will. Because He's Daddy. The Heavenly Father's chastening assures an adoption. Have you been chastened by the Lord? You know if you have or not. If you haven't, get ready. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." The Bible says if God loves you, He's going to whip you. And He does love you. He adopted you. Remember? He didn't just adopt you so you'd have a place to live and He could feed you and call you son. He adopted you to conform you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let you have all the privileges and be heir and join heirs with Christ and get the privileges as a son of God who owns everything. What else? Well, in Hebrews Hebrews tells us a lot about it. Chapter 12 and verse 5 through 11. Let me read it to you. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." You don't belong to him. "Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So why you get a whipping? So you can be more holy, like him. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous," not when the Lord's got the strap. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It'll make you more righteous and give you peace, that now you don't have to fight them wicked battles that you fought before, because the Lord's beat it out of you in a loving way and in a father's way that really, really, really cares about you and loves you, because he adopted you. Amen? All right. Well, what have we talked about today so far? Well, we began talking about the source of scriptural adoption. We found out that it's God's grace by faith, and it's through Christ Jesus, talking about the source of adoption. Then we talked about some assurance that adoption has taken place. What can we ask ourselves, and what can we look to for evidence as a source, or look to as evidence that an adoption's taken place in my life, that I am indeed God's child? Well, the Holy Spirit witnesses to you that you are a child of God now. Somebody gives you too much change, the Holy Ghost will witness to you, "Hey, you belong to the Lord. What you going to do about that?" You see something fall out of somebody's truck, you don't say, "Oh, man, it's my lucky day." You find a billfold, you don't say, "Oh, boy, God's blessed me. Look here." You don't look for the money, you look for the ID. Right? The Holy Spirit's witness of the Spirit's leading assures an adoption's taking place. Knowing that the Lord is not only your God, but he's also Daddy. And he's going to take things serious in with you as a son, and he's going to love you and let you and show you that he indeed loves you and he cares about you. And he does. He really, really, really does. What else? A changed life. What else? Your Heavenly Father's chastening. You're going to get a whooping because you're a sinner. And you're evil. It's not what you've done, it's what you are. But you are no longer that way. You're second nature. You've been born again. And according to the Bible, you're a son of God. And you're no longer a sinner. You are a saint that sins. Completely different scenario. Completely different family. Completely different way that God deals with people. God either deals with you as a son, or he deals with you as an enemy. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Let me give you these scriptures. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to go into another part of adoption. And this is good stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff. It's stuff you need to know as being a child of God and being adopted into God's family. Now, just think about this. All this stuff that we've been talking about, it has legally taken place. That God has taken care of all the legalities in the background. I mean, it's not going to surprise you. You know the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. You know the witness of the Spirit is there. You know there's changes in your life and everything else. There's nothing legally that's going to pop up to where God says, oops, got to send you to hell. It ain't going to happen. Because you've been adopted both compassionately and legally. Amen? We got a good God that works everything out. All right? Let me give you these scriptures, okay? You ready? Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. And 26 through 29. Romans chapter 10, 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 15 again. These go in order according to how we talk about these lessons. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. And the last one for today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Verse 5 through 11. All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our study today and been blessed by it. And the next study that we get into the next lesson with this adoption matter, we're going to talk about the blessings of adoption. The blessings of adoption. And maybe even get into some, if we have enough time on the next one, we'll talk about some unsuccessful and denied adoptions and why. Good stuff. Well, be good, brothers and sisters, and do the things that are pleasing in our Lord's sight. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.